Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer. And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over.
Mr. Jackson, sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today. Get him where it hurts.
Starring Gary Dorden from TV CSI.
This is the military, David.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of George Jefferson University Radio. I'm your host, Brother Jonaku. I'm also joined online by fellow host, Brother Bomani Shakur. We have another informative, information-packed show for you. Before we get started, I'll just go over something I saw in the news recently. I saw that our President Trump, he removed a large portion of the funding for groups for the agencies that investigate, like right-wing, very far right-wing or white supremacist organizations. And, a lot of people are speculating about why that was done. But to me, it sounds like, investigating hate groups isn't important. You see how he has a lot of these people in his cabinet that are connected with these right-wing extremist organizations. So I don't know. I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist or anything, but it seems like as you look at the news more and more, you hear about more hate crimes on the rise, not even talking about the police and what they're doing to black men especially, but there's just a lot of right-wing activity that's going more mainstream. You see more celebrities, more people in the spotlight, not hiding their racial views. So this has got me thinking. I'm not trying to be an alarmist or alarm anybody, but where is our country going? I mean, are we going back in time? Are we turning back the clans of time where, like, back in the day where the Ku Klux Klan was open, it was almost like, people were proud of their membership in it? Are we going back to those days? People want to talk about a post-racial society, but is it really post-racial? Yeah, we did have an African-American president, but that seems like the time when you saw a lot of rise in all this racism and hatred. So it's just something that I don't want to spend too much time on that. Maybe, towards the end of the show, we can discuss it further. But that's just something that I just want to kind of put out here. Where do you see this country going? Are things getting worse for minorities, specifically African Americans? Are things getting better? And what are your thoughts on that? So at this point, I'm going to turn the mic over to my fellow host, Brother Bomani Shakur. How are you, good brother?
Doing well, brother.
I'm sorry.
That's definitely something to consider, right? I would like to say land all the way to... Although identified with land, revolutionary ingredients, a B-5 holiday, free all the political prisoners. I want to salute all the brothers and sisters who are educating themselves and trying to better themselves on a better perspective to organize and to conduct their work in the community on a grassroots level. And people are doing things international level to better our condition and try to establish land and independence for our people and gain some kind of solidarity. We got a long-standing metaphysician, historian, and philosopher, educator, writer. The brother had many titles, doctor, thinker. Just a brilliant man. I'd like to welcome to the show Dr. Phil Valentine Hill.
Greetings.
How you doing, brother?
I'm good, brother. Very good. And yourself?
Wonderful, brother. When we start as all, I'd like you to introduce yourself. Tell the people, a little people about your background before we start off. Just a little bit about yourself for the people who don't know who you are.
I just want them to know me as a brother doing the work. You know, no big thing. Credentials don't mean a damn thing to me. You know, what you do with them. There's a whole lot of people got credentials up the yin yang into a damn thing. So, you know, it's about actually working up. You know, it's what it is you do, legacy you leave, you know, how true you are, how much you love your people, you know, what is it that you're going to put in there, what kind of work are you putting in, you know, what's your duration? You a long-distance runner, like some of our elders who went before us, or are you a sprinter who's just going for 15 minutes of fame, going up on YouTube, you boob, and standing on your soapbox and talking a lot of nonsense, and after you're gone, you know, you done took everybody the money. And their attention, which is what you really paying, because you still have to pay attention. So when you steal attention, you steal more than money.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel that, you know, a lot of the brothers and sisters, I think they've been standing on the shoulders of brothers and the elders who have gone before us, and they've taken and what I call the cut and paste generation, and they've really not, you know, put in the work, the hard grunt work, you know, the roll up your sleeves work. Kind of work where they burn your eyes, where, you know, you read into the night until the dawn come up, and the type of things that forged our elders, you know, and put them into that position of greatness. Right now, with information so easily, you know, bandied about, so easily transferred and so easily co-opted, it's not very easy to tell who's real and who's not anymore, because you can sound very profound with someone else's words in your mouth, especially when they ain't originated from your own brain. And that
true,
then the substance is not there. And so, you know, I give thanks for, you know, everything that I've learned. I've gone to white schools, black schools. I've gone to all the schools. And if you don't find yourself first in all of that knowledge and all that information, and all that information, all that knowledge is nothing more than you know, a carrot and a stick that you hang before the people, and you got them chasing it and not, you know, really attaining anything by it. So, yeah, I got a few credentials, but what does that mean in the long run to the people who need, you know, the work?
Yeah.
I would say, you know, like you brothers are doing your thing, you're keeping the legacy alive, the torch burning.
Indeed.
Yeah. And a lot of brothers and sisters, like you say, they don't know what I do. I can give them a little history of the things that I did. Back in the 1980s, early 1980s, I was the first one to come out with a vaccination exemption package for the black community. And most people didn't know that was going on in a little place in New York where I was. And we got so proficient at understanding the laws that help people to understand that they don't have to vaccinate their children with those poisons that you know, we forged a name for ourselves with the Board of Education, so much so we had to go to court. And, of course, we spanked them out of court with the law, with their own laws. And since then, over the last nearly 30-something years, I've been doing vaccination exemptions to teach people about their rights. I mean, that in itself is a very quiet thing that I do. I don't go out there blowing it up and start talking about, you know, how great I am. Here's my credentials to show you this and all that. No, you know, we have a 98% success rate in teaching people how to heal themselves, coming back from diseases that most people, you know, assign themselves to and resign themselves to taking drugs for the rest of their life. You know,
yeah.
We open up the first university online. Nobody had a university online back when, you know, online was the thing. We did it so much so that My elder brother and teacher, Dr. Jeffries, came to me and said, how are you doing that? Because he was getting ready to do his thing over in Ghana, opening up a school there for computers for boys. He wanted to learn how that went. But we took a technology that CEOs of big corporations were using to keep in touch with their people across the country, We turned that technology into technology to teach people around the world the metaphysics of mind and health and so forth. So these are little things that you're doing. If you're not doing anything, and people say, well, what are you doing? He's just talking metaphysics. Metaphysics don't mean a damn thing. Well, yeah, sure. It don't mean nothing if you're just spouting it out and talking about it instead of applying it. And we teach applied metaphysics here, not just, you know, smoke metaphysics, you know, blowing smoke.
True indeed. True indeed. True indeed. I want you to, can you tell us something about Philip Valentine that people don't know about? Just a little common base the fact that people don't know, you know.
Maybe people don't know. Well, oh boy, okay. All right. I ain't perfect. Let's start there. Made a lot of mistakes. Always try to, you know, work through them and admit to them and come out to understand what they were and then correct them. I've been in the business of teaching for a long, long time. Came out of the music business. Didn't know what to do until, you know, kind of a health tragedy hit me. And then from that point forward, I began studying on how to heal myself. Promised myself that if I could find a way to heal myself, that I would help the others around me, people, my brothers and sisters, to learn how to do the same. Well, I did find the secrets and the answers, studied many, many years, read over 3,500 books, took a speed reading course so I could learn as many books as I could, read as many books as I could, got my doctorate in life sciences. That is hygienic science from the Life Science Institute of Texas, which is now fused to the College of Natural Health, Fit for Life Institute in Canada. I got my, most people don't know about this, but I do have what's known as a Juris Dictor, a Minister Ecclesiastical Spiritual Juris Dictica credentials, which is under the Ecclesiastical Juris Dictor, which is recognized in all the courts of the United States of America, Title 28, U.S.C. 1604, I believe. And this has to do essentially with the Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations and the Hague Convention. And so I have a ministerial where I could, you know, do ministerial work around the globe. And my, you know, that particular permission, so to speak, does not expire until 2025. So I've done marriages very quietly. One or two of my specific blending of different marriages from around the indigenous worlds, I've blended together to create a marriage ritual that was featured in the Jumping the Broom book, and was on YouTube when I did it with my beloved brother in his wedding, Brother Black Dot. So I've done many things. I don't know what the heck else that they need to know. I mean, I don't know. I just do all different, many different things. I lecture. I love the study of metaphysics. I deal with consultations in psychology, metaphysical psychology. And I do naturopathic health teaching as well as I do naturopathic consultations. And that's it.
Okay. Can you give us an understanding of you said a naturopathy? Can you tell us what exactly it is?
Yeah, it's the ancient way that our ancestors learned to heal themselves. The old ways were co-opted back about 200-300 years ago by Europeans selling snake oil. I remember there was these Westerns that used to see these jokers on the back of wagons selling things that were good for everything, you know, horse liniment, you know, scalp, you know. Whatever was good for your scalp was good for your hemorrhoids. Whatever was good for your hemorrhoids was good for your bunions. And they were in the back of these wagons selling these concoctions and decoctions. And those people became the pharmaceuticals that essentially took over the osteopathic medicine healing ways and methodologies that our ancestors had. And there was a European man by the name of T.C. Thrall, who at the time of the Civil War came out in a lecture with his fellow white people, who said that more people died in the Civil War from doctors than they did from the bullets. And the doctors essentially were responsible for more of the deaths during the Civil War than actually the battles themselves, because the wounded, essentially, if you were wounded, you might as well have been dead. So he came out and began reinstituting ancient ways and calling it the hygienic system. Now, those who survived them, by the name of Sheldon, began writing books about what it is that he learned from the ancient ancestors and what we teach here in our naturopathic, what we call classical naturopathy, is different than our approach to natural healing than Western medicine. Western medicine is about attacking. Western, what they call medical technology and the medical science, is connected to military science. So if you look at the way the Western military science and the way Western medical science talk, they talk about the war on terror versus the war on AIDS, if you understand what I'm saying, or the war on cancer.
Yes, sir.
You know, these Europeans want to wage war on everything, not realizing that the disease that you have in your body is not about you attacking what the body is expressing as a disease. Whenever you express a disease from your body, that is the body's effort to get rid of what's wrong with the body. So you get a headache, you start seeing marks on your skin, things start to go wrong, immediately you go to the doctor, he goes ballistic. How does he go ballistic? He goes into his cache and his armaments, and he goes in and looks for the specific caliber and weaponry to attack your particular disease. When all is happening is the body is offloading the toxins, the poisons, and giving you evidence of what it is doing. So instead of assisting the body to get rid of what's wrong and to help it to heal, you attack the actual healing process and suppress whatever it is that the body was trying to get rid of, forcing it back into the system for it to become a whole other type of disease later on down the line. So what you're looking at is the way that the doctors think about it, attacking, the same way the military man goes in and reconnoiters the situation. He sets in, SEAL Team 7 or whatever, and what they do is they call themselves recon. So the recon is the diagnosis, okay? So recon sends back information and tells, headquarters, well, this is where the enemy is. Now, they assess the enemy, strength of the enemy, and then now headquarters gives orders about which ballistics, which one of armaments, what do we use in the form of armaments to attack this particular enemy. It's the same kind of mentality that these Caucasoids have, and they've kept that now, and they've used that to co-opt the natural healing community by bringing in what they call integrative medicine. And integration, they never did nothing for it. So now they got integrative medicine. And they got the Western Medicine Church, the Western Medical Church, is now cranking out the naturopathic licenses. You got to have a license to do what's natural now, because they found out back when I was in Harlem, they had come together. The National Institute of Health came into Harlem back when I was there in the early 90s, late 80s actually. And what happened was they wanted to know what it is that was putting all these doctors out of business. Why was it that the public was smartening up so? What is it that we were doing for the public? They wanted to know. So they gave us a measly $20,000 to share amongst ourselves, and these Negroes went crazy. Oh, yeah, well, let's go ahead and tell them everything we did. I said, y'all fools. I said, what y'all doing is putting yourself out of business. And sure enough, they went for it. Sent in all these papers about what they did, how they moved, what they did to put this here, and what they did to it. And sooner or later, like it was about 5 or 10 years later, now you see these doctors coming out with their integrative licenses and making sure that you can't do what they did because they got credentials now. See? So the game was set up for us to fail and for them to co-opt, because they found out that the business of natural healing back then was making $5 billion a year. So the mafia wanted their cut.
Yeah.
The medical mafia wanted their cut.
Yeah, them capitalist imperials all want to cut. Yeah. That's some deep information that you shared there, brother. Real deep information. I didn't know anything about it. The science you just dropped and just relayed, you're very informative. But what I do know is that, like you said, the system, they fear the aspects of our people using the science of our ancestors to heal ourselves. And over the years, there have been a lot of our holistic health doctors and a lot of our physicians coming up missing or coming up dead. You know, some people want to say it's a conspiracy, or you look at it realistically, realistically, it is what it is. It's reality. You know, they're trying to screw up on their planet Earth. They're trying to take us away because, as I look at them, they genetically annihilating themselves because they're not reproducing like that. So they got to destroy us and evacuate us off the planet Earth by diseases, mm-hmm. by mass incarceration, by bombing, and by making us kill each other, inducing that, mm-hmm. By capitalism, poverty, whatever they use, they tactics. Mm-hmm. Tactics, mm-hmm. You know, tactics situation, right? I'll let ask you. Who inspired you to be who you are today? Who inspired you?
Well, just to lead off from what you said about conspiracy, the word con is against, and conspiracy means spirit. So you can tell that they anything they're doing, anything we investigate is definitely against the spirit. So when we start speaking against the spirit, they done put the word out to tell you that you're a conspiracy nut. Yeah, I'm studying the way you go next to that. I'm not studying what you're doing with spirit. But anyway, like, who inspired me? Well, first of all, I want to give all thanks to my father and my mother for allowing me to do what I was able to do during the time when I had come off my music and didn't have anything to do. And I want to thank, the brothers and sisters who, in my search for myself, were instrumental in guiding me to places. I mean, I was meeting up with people in the subway at Times Square, down in the subway at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was reading books, sitting on the steps, and you know what it's like down there. If you have been there at 3 o'clock in the morning, it stank. And I'm sitting there trying to get home. Train, ain't coming on time. And I'm reading my books because I'm in my own world. I'm going to create a bubble around myself. And I'm sitting there, and old man, old brother comes by, walking by, very neat. And he says, he saw me reading the Bhagavad Gita, a book, an ancient book. And he said, that's pretty heavy. Yeah, he said, that's a pretty heavy book for such a young brother, older brother. I said, yes. So he said, you understand what you're reading? I said, yes, I do, somewhat. If I don't, I'll just keep reading it till I do. He laughed. And then he went into his bag and gave me a book by William Q. Judge, who was a member of the Theosophy Society at that time. And he says, here's something that they took from you. And now they're putting it in books that belong to them so that they can look like they're the ones who gave it to you. But I'm giving this to you because I know where this came from. So out of nowhere, he gave me a book that it was so new that the pages were actually stuffed together and I had to cut the pages apart in order to read one page to the next. And after I looked through it for a little while and I looked around the platform, I couldn't find this dude. I don't know if he went back upstairs. I didn't notice him. But the dude disappeared, period. That was like the things that were leading me to all these places. And in the back of the book, there was an address for the Theosophy Lodge. Everybody said, well, us, the Lodge of the Devil. And I said, look, wherever the devil is, I'm going to find out what he got to say, too. You know, because if that is... If that cracker wants me to stay away from Lucifer, I'm going to study who this dude is, because if my enemy telling me stay away from somebody, I got to find out why. So when I found out that the combination between the two and how it was, the dichotomy of good and evil and everything, and how that worked in our ancient ancestors' sciences, all that began leading me to different places. And so I ended up at a place called the Tree of Life. And a brother by the name of Kanya Kakumba at the time, who's now Kanya Rashawn McGee, he, an ex-brother who worked at Wall Street, he had a book on the corner of 125th Street and Lenox Avenue, and it was called the University on the corner of Lenox Avenue, UCLA, East, we call it, UCLA East. And that's where I began meeting brothers and sisters who were on a higher level of spiritual thinking, I say I got to meet Maurice White from Earth, Wind, and Fire. I got to meet Dr. John E. Moore, who was my first teacher in dealing with herbology. And so from there, Dr. John Henry Clark, who at the time when I was with Queen of Fua, we were there and had the privilege of trying to take care of him and help him because he was going blind at the time. He became a mentor of mine. And, you know, the people, because of his stature and who he was for Malcolm and so forth, every time we tried to move to try to help him with natural healing, the people weren't into that. You know, they weren't there. They were more into what they wanted to hear the doctors had to say and so forth. So we couldn't actually help, you know, Baba the way we wanted to. But then, you know, we had met Dr. Ben. We knew Dr. Van Sertima. And these were the people that I had the chance to actually fellowship with during the time that I was being molded in my knowledge. And so I also studied with Baba Heru and Baba Kafra in the ancient Kemetic sciences. And so I had so many different some teachers that I drew from, so many different well springs of knowledge that I drew from, that actually I'm a composite of all that.
True, indeed. You mentioned John Henry Clark. John Henry Clark actually buried in the city where I'm at right now, in Columbia, Georgia. He buried there. Yeah. I'm with the grave site. I just paid my homage. You know, he's actually buried here. And he grew up in a certain time of his childhood. You know, that actually one of the people who inspired me, as well as Malcolm X. And you mentioned Harlem. I know that there were a lot of the Nation of God. I heard there were a lot of the Five Centers that your brother dropping the signs in the mouth, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a very interesting situation. That's America, you know. And I'd like to ask you, what are your thoughts about Conrad George Jackson? What are your thoughts on the brother?
Well, I know he got set up for me. You know, I don't know what everybody think, you know, what happened, but I know they would set him up. And for whatever purpose the lawyer was involved and how that was involved and what it is that came about, you know, how he wrote what he said, how he, you know, he conducted himself, what he did to organize the brothers within there, and Soledad. You know, I look at it that all of our teachers who are making a – see, inside the walls – of those concentration camps is an army. And if you remember, you know, prisoners of war were kept in concentration camps. And the first thing they did was to isolate the leaders and to know or to recognize who the leaders were versus who the followers were. And they have a tendency to watch what the influence of the leader is to make sure that those who followed became so engrossed in the following that if you cut off the head of the leader, then the body don't know what to do.
Interesting.
And so there's a lot of people that don't understand how the strategy for demoralizing a movement, undercutting it, crippling it, and to dumb it down is to make sure that the leader is so, or the people are so engrossed in the leadership itself and the personality, almost to that messiah, which is essentially why COINTELPRO was created in the first place.
No doubt.
That brothers like George Jackson and, you know, and Malcolm and all the rest of the people that were involved in helping us to know who we were, and you know, with Brother Marcus, and everybody that is working out there, Queen Mother Moore, you know, all of the people that have been, those who've been out there doing the work.
Free land.
You know, yeah. And the thing about it is that Brother George, the thing is, that's the other thing, why is it that we could get so much done in jail? You know what I'm saying? Why is it that they, and you get to get with the psychology of that, why is it that they lionize people from behind bars? Why is it that they allow, you know, that type of mentality to grow when it's contained? And then if it can't be contained, contain it in such a way that you could demoralize the people, like when they took out MLK and then they took out Brother Malcolm. They make sure that the people are so engrossed emotionally in just the figurehead that they don't understand that we're at war and that it ain't got that, you got to get out that Christian mentality that somehow Moses is going to lead us out of something. See, we get stymied by that. We get suffocated by our own type of allegiance to a figurehead. True leaders always prepare because they know their targets from jump, that the leadership should not go to the next stage. And that's what COINTELPRO was supposed to do. It was supposed to get to the next person in line. Wasn't supposed to go after Malcolm. Malcolm, they already had targeted, just like Brother Dick Gregory already spoke about. He was already targeted for a specific time for his demise. It's to get the people right underneath who would automatically pick up the torch and move it forward without a hitch. That's how you cripple a movement. So they had already gotten to Brother George because they got to the next stage or the next layer that would have automatically assumed that position of leadership.
Sure, indeed. That's a very interesting synopsis of the situation. You know, I would like to thank you for coming onto our platform and share your knowledge and understanding with the people, right, and educating us. And at this time, we're going to open the lines up to the call and listeners so they can ask you a few questions. I know you're not going to be on this long, be on a platform long, but I salute you, brother, and your efforts for educating our people and all the contributions you have made toward our liberation and education.
Okay, we have a caller in the 909 area
code. Oh,
caller for the 909 area code.
Need to mute that phone, Conrad.
I don't have any comments. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, we have a caller from the 510 area code. You have a question or comment? Well, I guess.
No, sorry, man. I'm just listening in.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. Okay, now we have several callers from the 619 area code. So any of you all who have a question, your mic is open. We have a couple of callers from the 619 area code.
Oh, yeah. I just want to say this is Brother Gaidi, man. I'm just chiming in saying I really appreciate the wisdom that the brother imparted us with. And, you know, that medicine is very important, and I'm glad he touched on that as well as all the other things. And I salute him based on his experiences and where he's been and how he maintained the struggle and his articulation of it. I really, you know, look to that. That's really what got me started on my study and being able to be on these level 4 yards around certain brothers that was really, you know, really knowledgeable, and that was what the platform was. That's what you ascended to be, and it's unfortunate now in our community we didn't got away from that, but it's brothers like him that continue to be that motivation to continue to study and learn more so that way we can really get to these young brothers and articulate something that's going to be in their best interest. So I just give my thanks, Brother Salamu.
Peace and blessings.
Peace, sister.
Hey, this is Layla from San Diego. How you doing, brethren? First and foremost, 619 San Diego, we're on here deep tonight. That's beautiful. Elder, one of the questions I have is I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, and it's all the way down my mother's line, and it seems like that's my weakness because of her racial mixing on her mother's side. Because the rest of my family is pretty healthy. So I've chosen a vegan lifestyle. A question I have is, my husband is behind enemy lines, and he's having health problems, diabetes, the basic thing. What would you suggest in that type of situation that I can help him as far as eating? Because they give him nothing but processed food. They're trying to kill these brothers. And, Bridget, I muted my phone after that. I don't want you to hear my background noise and disturb the show.
Okay, did you hear the sister's question?
I'm sorry. Every time I move from one position, sometimes I can't be heard. I have to go back to where I was. It's a better service here. Yes, I did hear the sister.
Okay.
Forgive me for not for moving away from the good spot. Yes, what I would suggest that you do is get an independent doctor if it's possible for you to go to the institution to ask for an independent doctor to have an examination, have him examined. What you can do is get a prescription for specific quote-unquote vitamins. Now, what we do suggest is the fact that he is not getting the kind of nutrition that's necessary for them to eat and to remain healthy in such conditions. First of all, psychologically and psychospiritually, he's being persecuted. He's being tortured in just that type of environment itself. So what I would suggest is that you find a way to be able to get Juice Plus to him as part of his quote-unquote medicine. Now, Juice Plus is a pure food extract. It's not a herb. It is a nutritious herb because it's nothing but fruits, vegetables, and berries dehydrated into a capsule. And what that would do is give him concentrated fruits, vegetables, and berries in the amount of nearly 30 fruits, vegetables, and berries, 30 fruits, vegetables, and berries that is has an even higher classification than the FDA's organic branding. It's called NSF, which is National Safety Foundation, has a higher standard for organic foods than the one for from the FDA. So I would suggest that this very benign substance, which is fruit, vegetables, and berries, be given to him so he can have a concentrated amount of the nutrition that I know that he's not getting, and you know that he's not getting. So that would be the first thing to do. The second thing is that probably in order to bulk up and to give him that sense of filling up is the amount of starches that he's probably getting. If he's not exercising and if he's not burning it off or using up that sugar, it's going to overload his pancreas and the overload of insulin that he would have and the glycemic index would be way off the chart as a result if he's taking that plus the sweets he might get in commissary and so forth. So I would suggest that if it's possible for you to get one or two orders, doubling the orders, for him to be able to take the Juice Plus, that would be a start for him.
I'm willing to do that fight. Thank you, Elder, so much.
You're quite welcome. And if you can get in contact with me, you can call me at 800-847-1291. Again, 800-847-1291. Leave your name, the reason, and please leave the number at least two or three times because sometimes the recording isn't so good and we don't really hear everyone. And please speak up into the microphone of your phone so we hear. But I think that the Juice Plus would be a start. The other thing definitely would be to get an independent doctor to actually ask the institution for an independent doctor's because he does have a choice to have both, you know, a second opinion, so to speak, to find out what's going on with him.
Thank you so much, sir. They don't allow them fruit, very limited. And that's another one of the biggest problems that we have to fight. But this is a start. Thank you so much, sir.
You're quite welcome, sister. And the fruits, they can't deny this because it's capsulized. The thing about the Juice Plus is so beautiful is that in the dehydration process, the enzymes are not affected. In fact, the sugar and the salt from the fruits and vegetables are removed in the dehydration process. So all he would be getting is the pure enzymic nutrition that would go directly to feeding him. Now, this is not a drug, so it doesn't have an immediate effect. Because it is a food, it has a slow effect for building rather than kind of the type of attack that a stimulant would give. This is a nutrient, not a stimulant. There's a difference between a nutrient and a stimulant. What this is a nutrient, which would take time to help him to rebuild from the inside.
Thank you for that question, sister. Okay, all lines are open right now. If anybody has a question to come up for, I guess, feel free to jump right in. All microphones are open at this point.
brother, I want to know, can you offer any information as for sisters that might be pregnant? What can they do in order to enhance the development of the baby, you know, make it as strong as possible, mentally adept as possible, and all those things? I know a lot of children coming into the world now with all these fake-ass ADD and all that. What ways can a sister utilize nutrition in order to better the baby's chances once the baby hits this world?
Indeed. First thing, minimize her stress. The one thing that our sisters today are being forced into as well as acceptance of is higher levels of stress. The beautiful thing about the relationships of the ancients was the physical body of the man was built for stress. Testosterone deals with stress much better than estrogen does. And if you're stressing the temple or the monstrance, they call it, or the tabernacle for life, then those stress hormones and the specific blood tinctures that are formed in stress are then part of the makeup of the child, which then causes developmental anomalies in brain and heart development. So what you want to do is to help her, and what she wants to do is to find a way to deal with less stress, which is something, of course, I'm saying that, you know, in these days and times, you know, you can find it where you get it where you find it, so to speak. The next thing is to make sure that the environment is not suffused with a lot of harsh sounds, like sometimes, and I know this ain't got no aspersions against our music, but the music today is not what is going to help. The kind of music that we were playing back in the days, love songs that actually created different types of chemicals that the brain would give off during love songs, not during songs that's got a 4-4 beat, for instance, that they got today, which is why when the Ashkenazi, when the Zionists took over the music business, they began to emphasize subsonic waves that would affect the womb and the testicles. So these 4-4 beats were not exactly what we were dealing with, and then they removed all of the different, instruments, musical instruments, that essentially used to balance out the bottom with the top. So you had heartstring music, music that would definitely work on the nerves of the mother that would then be transmitted as love energies to the child. We don't have that anymore. We got too many people arguing, yelling, screaming, and all the music that sisters are hearing from other sisters is about complaining about what the man ain't doing and how bad she is as a bitch and all this type of stuff. These are, you know, this may be said, well, this is just the culture. No, it ain't the culture. It was purposely suffused into our culture for us to adapt to it. And normal is not natural. You understand the difference? There's a difference. They want you to believe that normalized pathological behavior is now natural. And if you got a child coming up behind that and they being indoctrinated into a abnormal normalcy, they're going to take that as natural. So we have to understand what natural is and what it is that is the best for incubating another ancestor coming back. There's sweet musics that we have that they co-opted back in Spain that they now call classical music. Music by Beethoven, music by the one who taught Mozart when he was looking for a job, was a brother. And there are many different types of musics from around the world, different types of sounds that reverberate. Look for the sounds that make plants happy. Look for the sounds that make the life around you flourish, and those sounds would make the life within you flourish. Okay? The other thing is, to deal with that Juice Plus, like I was saying, I ain't trying to push a product, but there's only two that we recommend, and that is the therapeutic grade essential oils by Young Living and the Juice Plus. And every child, everyone that I have over 35 godchildren, and all of them were based upon couples who came to me who couldn't have children. And when we told them about the Juice Plus, the next thing we find out at the end, once they have had their child, that the Apgar test is something called Apgar. Look it up. Apgar is what it is that child reacts like when the child first is born. What's the grip of the fingers like? How strong is the cry? How strong is the kick and the fight? You know, how strong is the baby to resist? All of these is what they call the Apgar test. And that Apgar test for young sisters who've been on the Juice Plus during their terms as being pregnant was through the roof. 10 is the highest. And they always scored 8.5 to 9.5 to 9.8 when they have been on Juice Plus and they have followed these simple instructions for how to incubate that returning ancestor.
Brother, what did you say the name of the other one was, the therapeutic grade what?
Essential oils.
And how do you spell that Apgar?
P-G-A-R.
Okay.
And, it's an acronym. It's an acronym for something, but look it up.
Okay. And what can you say about hyperthyroidism?
Well, hyperthyroidism or hypo, which one? One is
hypo.
One is low thyroid energy or hyper or hypo.
Oh, hypo. Yes, sir.
Hypo. Okay. We're speaking about the endocrine system. We're talking about the my brain just went fresh. Well, what's missing from there is homeopathic iodine. Okay. And you need to come off of oily foods, fried, heavyweight fried foods, fried chicken, fried pork.
No, she don't eat no meat at all. She don't eat no animals whatsoever.
Well, then that means it's a psychology. And I don't want to start outing the sister's, private thing, because I could read her for you, tell you what's going on. But if she is eating properly and has a low thyroid, then there's something psycho-spiritual going on, because always remember this: matter follows mind. So whatever's the matter is in your mind.
Right. Yeah, well, she has myasthenia gravis.
Ah, well, there you go. How long?
About 5-6 years. Well, maybe 10 years. 10 years.
What has she been taking for it?
She has stopped taking everything. Now she's just on a real raw food diet. She juices a lot. And, she's trying to wean herself up off of that because, she's a more holistic and natural type of sister. So.
Okay.
But
now,
is it
affecting her eyes?
Yes, it is. Her eyes be low sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the symptoms. But
muscular.
She hasn't been in crisis. Yeah, she hasn't been in crisis or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, she does
great
exercise and, like I said, fasting and meditating and stuff like that.
Okay, well, that's for kidneys. Kidneys and liver.
Okay.
Great fear and great repressed anger.
Okay.
Does she have
thymoma?
Say that again.
Is it an overdeveloped thyroid? Like it's something called thymoma. Does she have a highly developed one?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Hmm.
I'm not sure exactly.
Hmm. Okay. That particular, if I can remember correctly, it's an effect of the transfer of certain energies between the nerves and the muscles. In other words, there is no proper conducting of the electrical signals between the nerves and the muscles.
Right.
So, again, what you need to do is get those nutrition, that heavy nutrition I was telling you about, and give us a call and tell us, that you were on the radio and stuff like that. And then, I would tell you to speak directly as far as the nutrition part, not the nutrition part, but the part with the therapeutic grade essential oils. You can speak directly to Dr. Nalani, my wife. She's very proficient in knowing which one of the oils would do best. But if it's a conducting of electrical energy between the muscle and a failure of the body to create enough of a charge by the brain's instructions to move one part to another, then there is definitely a condition in the liver and the kidneys, because the kidneys control muscle functions as well, and it is the seat of fear and apprehension.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
You're quite welcome.
Sir, when you spoke of the kidneys and the liver and the mind and matter, and it almost seemed like you were speaking to me, it's almost as if, as African women, we're letting the stress of this world kill us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I wrote my book,
The Wounded Womb. Indeed. I wrote my book, The Wounded Womb, around those that very premise. Everybody thought that I hated women for that. No, but most people didn't realize that I was writing a book 25 years ago that was a predictive of what was happening today to our sisters, as well as to our men, turning our men into women and turning our women into men. At that time, back then, I was attacked by sisters who were very deep into feminism in the late 1980s going into the 90s. But everything in that book, including transsexualism and the whole nine yards, was in that book before it was actually something that most people even realized about. And now, because it's so rampant and so prevalent, people think that I wrote it just yesterday. But no, I didn't. That book is nearly 30 years old. It started out as a folio when I was married with Queen Afua, and I helped to create something called The Sacred Woman. And that book was actually started out as a little folio for women who were suffering from fibroids and cervical cancers even back then. And so what I did was put together a folio of all the things that women did and all the different institutions that women felt comfortable and were nurtured in. All of that was being abandoned to become equal to men. And once they did that, I said, you all are definitely putting yourselves out there and the health of future generation of our sisters, little young girls, in jeopardy. And, of course, today we see that this is has become a very sad reality.
Well, you have God children over here, because many moons ago, after reading Sacred Woman with a group of my friends, I went completely raw for about 2 years. Before then, I couldn't have children. And I was pretty much like, oh, I'll just get through life. I was going for a career. That's what I was told I needed to do. And children were on the back burner. After doing and reading and learning from you and your former wife, Queen Afua, and going on that natural vegan raw foods, not cooked foods diet, I gave birth to identical twin boys naturally.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. It's funny.
You
that
just connected
that,
the dots for me.
Well, 35 of my godchildren actually came out like that, and I've been helping superstar musicians and athletes, and I can't name their names for confidentiality. But one superstar came to me, and his wife could not get pregnant, and they had tried for 2 years. I put her on a serious program, and they now have 7 children.
Wow.
I love it. I just love it. You know, I love the work, you know.
OG, are you familiar with the benefits of having a lotus birth where the baby remains connected to the placenta while it still has a pulse? And I heard that it distributes 60 milliliters of additional blood to the baby, which I'm sure can benefit the brain and things of that nature. What other benefits or information might you be able to provide about such a birth?
Well, I could. Is that directed to me?
Yes, sir. Please, if you know anything about the lotus birth.
Oh, by all means, yes. Matter of fact, I helped birth my son that way. I helped birth my own granddaughter that way. And they kept that. We waited until the specific line shrunk up, almost shriveled up, before we actually cut. And that's what you're supposed to do. In fact, the doctors who cut too soon just got to get to the next birth, because they are dealing with numbers and getting paid. See, for every birth that they have their little hands in, that's something that they don't really have nothing to do with except to just guide the process. They get paid big jack. But, yes, I am very familiar with that. In fact, my grandmother back in Trinidad, where I grew up, my people are from West Indies, she would have the women of the village would come to her. She would birth the babies, and then that evening we'd have dinner on the same table. That's exactly how I came up. So, yes, they kept placenta, the placenta attached to the baby and then buried it under a tree. And any time the child got sick, the child would sit on that particular part where the placenta was buried. And that would be the place where that person would then feed from the earth what it is. You know, trees would grow under it, and that tree would belong to that child, that type of thing. We had a lot of African cultures, a lot of ancient Indian and what we call ancient American culture was also transported to the West Indies where our people were. And I always tell the young sisters that come to us, between my wife and myself, we always tell them to do not allow them to cut that umbilical until it's almost flat and definitely has not given the last set of nutrients and nutrition to that child. Because what happens is during the trauma of birth, depending on all the pain and all the suffering that the mother is going through, that placenta essentially now is creating counter-stress materials. In other words, during the time when mother is, and this is something I also have in my book, that our sisters today going through all this screaming and yelling and painful birth, it is because their bodies have degenerated over all these several lifetimes of stress under captivity. The body of a woman is not supposed to be screaming and yelling to do something natural. If you look at the animals, you look at the animals like the cat family and then the calf family or the herds, the females just lay down, have a baby, get up, and be good. Back in the day, that's the way it was supposed to be. And babies are not supposed to be born at 9 and 10 and 12 and 5 pounds. That's ridiculous. A baby was born at about 7, 6 pounds, maybe 5 pounds, 6 pounds, but were born healthy. And within a week to maybe 3 days, the baby would start growing on the outside of the mother to make sure that the mother was thin. But today, they think that because the baby is small, that somehow it's not getting the proper nutrients because the mother's not eating and treating herself correctly. So we have genetically changed the way women have babies today into this traumatic ritual that that when the baby is born, the placenta now has the sedative and the countermeasures to those stress materials that were transmitted during the birth cycle. So it's necessary to allow for the placenta to finish nurturing the child outside because it contains the countermeasures to whatever stress materials would have been ingested by the child during the birthing experience. So all of the nutrients, and especially also that cord, the amount of densified materials, what they call pre-cells, the small cells that are not developed. I forgot what they were called, but depending on the densification of that material, cord blood, they call it, that contains the cord blood, rich cord blood, the concentration of nutrient blood in the cord will tell you the health of the child. And that juice plus, all the time that they've done the research on pregnant women, the cord blood of women who have been on juice plus has been off the charts. Off the charts. It's been so dense with nutritious red blood cells that that the baby is born. And then when the baby, of course, takes that colostrum from the mother, that plug that's in her breasts, that's what inoculates the child. That's the inoculation. But the doctors come in and give the baby a needle to counteract what that is supposed to do to protect your baby.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Most welcome.
Okay.
I got something to say. Elder. Could you inform the people how they can enroll to your online university?
Oh, okay. Yes, sir. Thank you for that. It almost slipped my mind. I was kind of enjoying myself, I haven't had a chance to talk to the family in a long time, except back in New York I did. But, you can call the 800 number, 800-847-1291. Our next semester in metaphysical psychology begins on July the 15th, and we are currently registering people for enrollment. Registration and enrollment are different. Registration is just you signing the application and submitting it online. Enrollment only takes place, and you save your spot only when you've made your first month's tuitional payment. So now what we do is we will give you the website, which is www.uksnow.org. Again, uksnow.org. Okay? Now, once you go up on there, online, you'll see at the bottom, scroll down a little bit, you'll see different links there. Just link to where it says registration, and the page will pop up. You fill it out, and in the box asking which one of the courses, just put metaphysical psychology, or you just put down summer semester 2017, and then our administrative assistant will know exactly what to do to get in contact with you. As far as payment is concerned, you have to call me directly, and our administrator will then give you my number to understand or to be told how to render your first month's tuition. The classes are 3 months long. They take place on Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we go until sometimes 1 or 2 when it gets real good. You have to have a PowerPoint capability, and you have to have a good phone to be able to stay on for about, say, 3 hours of learning. There is homework involved. We meet on the first and third Saturdays of the month.
Okay. No correspondence classes, Elder, for people in prison?
I'm sorry?
There's no correspondence classes for people in prison?
That's the thing that we haven't done as yet. We're putting together, we're going to be retooling our whole system to try to upgrade it. But again, that means we need the funds. We need to get ourselves together because this, we have not yet put it into a capsule. Because, see, the classes are meant to just be for the individual. I think we got hacked.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Somebody on Zoom in.
Oh, yeah, that's it, huh?
Somebody want to play guitar?
The Beast?
Y'all can mute it.
They're going to read them live.
Okay. All right, sister, here's what the deal is. The classes, when the students attend the classes and they do their homework, they're doing homework assignments so that in the next class we begin to critique their work and to be able to work with that person individually. This is what I created the university for. Because I've lectured, I have over 300 tapes more possibly that are sitting on that nobody's ever seen, but I have all these tapes that people keep jacking and changing the names of and putting them all over the world. That particular work is gone. The work I'm more interested in now is cultivating the individual mind of our brothers and sisters so that the leadership of tomorrow has their purpose mentally first before they go out there to do any work physically. So what happens, our school is there to nurture and to build the individual and that spirituality and knowledge of self from within. So we have people like professors from MIT, professors from Princeton. We have superstar athletes, superstar musicians. We have just regular brothers, truck drivers, sisters who are housewives. We have teachers. We have all kind of chemists. We have people from all walks of life who are individually seeking how to grow their consciousness and to better themselves as human beings. So if to just give somebody the class and not be able to nurture and work with that person, that is something we're going to have to be able to work with so that we could make it as accessible and as interactive as we did on the outside to those brothers and sisters who are in the on the inside. Until that time, if they can get hold of some of our material and then work it from there, yes, you know, that's fine. But it would not be that same experience. And if you want to find out, this is another thing, if you want to find out what that experience is like, go to the website and click where it says testimonials. The testimonials of the brothers and sisters who had attended, this is just some of them. We have about 30 or 40 more that we haven't put online. But just read the testimonials of the brothers and sisters who came to the classes, and you'll understand what that's about. You'll see what it is that we teach. Our teaching method is more personalized than it is just for us to just say something and then throw it out there to get a buck. It doesn't work like that. I'm sorry, sister. Not yet. We haven't yet developed it. Our funds
that's
have not
okay,
yet
sir.
Allowed us to be able to do that.
Yes, sir. I will go look for myself. And I know that he, a lot, himself and other brothers, they're Kemetic priests. And so they're really looking at bringing that into the prison and that healing within.
Okay. Beautiful.
I have a question for you, Yoda.
Yeah, wait a minute. Well, somebody needs to tell Paco to stop playing for a minute.
I don't know where that coming from, man.
I don't know. But Paco needs to get, you know, get a cup and go someplace else.
Yeah.
Yo, brother.
Oh, they're playing the music for real, man. What the fuck? Man, come on.
What was it you wanted to ask, brother? Let's see if we can go over that dead view.
Okay, can you tell me exactly what the conscious community is?
There is no real conscious community. The conscious community is a very quiet community. Now we could probably mute at this point.
Okay. Got me out of line.
Okay, go ahead.
John Akuka, be out of line, Conrad.
Somebody's definitely doing this on purpose.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
they are.
Yeah, for real. Yes, for real. That's some bullshit. But we know how the enemy play games, though.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, as far as you being able to, maybe the master switch, you could just mute everybody out. Why don't you just mute everybody out and just let me speak? If you have the ability to do that, just mute everybody else up.
John Akuka. All right, John Akuka. Comrade, don't keep that to Comrade.
It might be him because he might be offline and that's what's playing.
Hold on, get the Comrade on the square board. Hold up. No, I don't think that's the Conrad.
Nah, that ain't me, loved one.
Nah, I'm talking about John Akuka. I don't think that's the Conrad and the Swift Boy, man. No, he ain't doing it like that, man. Know where they're coming from. This is some bullshit, hell, man. This is some real bullshit. Real talk.
Well, you've been hacked in.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, exactly what it is.
Yeah. Well, anyway, just to let you know, as far as the conscious community is concerned, today, the conscious community itself is not what it used to be. It's been jacked. It's been kind of polluted. Those who are really conscious know not to participate with what is being called the conscious community today. Those who have the nostalgic memory about understanding what it was back in the days, goodbye. Those who were nostalgic to the point who understands what it was like back in the day when it was being formed, back in the late 70s, going into 60s, 70s, when our elders were actually doing the work, writing the books, going into institutions of learning, higher institutions, and challenging the historical narratives of the day. Those are the people that led to what became what was at first the historical and the cultural change and renaissance in thinking, then dovetailed, because when we sat at the feet of our elders, we were asking them, well, what about the spiritual? Because, you know, we saw what they did. We knew they built the pyramids. They built the first civilizations. But what were those people like in their hearts and in their minds? What was the metaphysics? What was the spirituality involved? And then that then began to grow another branch off of that tree of a knowledge and ascendancy in our community, which is where we came in and began studying and taking, just as they did, the knowledge and the history as the European had put it down. We took the knowledge and the spiritual histories of the knowledge that they put down, and we began reclaiming it and putting it back in the black. And so what we did was then take it into what we call metaphysics. But today, most people say, well, metaphysics is Greek. No, it ain't Greek, because anything that is Greek was Kemetic. So there's no such thing as Greek philosophy. So metaphysics is nothing more than what we call chem-metaphysics. Because Chem taught the physics to those who call themselves the Greeks. So what you know, as far as that's concerned, we teach chemetaphysics, and we teach the science of applied chemetaphysics, not just you sitting around, you know, scratching the top of your head and talking about, you know, the wonders of the universe, but applying the science of mind and the universe to your everyday life and to your culture and your upbringing and to your children and to your learning process. So we began to study and teach that, and then the so-called conscious community, which was then given that name because of the brothers that were out there on the streets, like Brother Big Man at the time, and Brother John Harris, and Brother Kanya, and all the older people who were actually putting the information into the hands of the people there in Harlem on the streets. They began to get the understanding of what it is to give that knowledge out to our people, and it spread from coast to coast. I did it. I helped to grow it in New York, all right? Bobby grew it in Atlanta. Dr. Delbert Blair grew it in Chicago. Brother Jamal out on the West Coast. Then, of course, you know, you had Dr. York and all the different people who wanted to push that spiritual, and Baba Heru. All these people were actually taking it from the metaphysical, the spiritual, something that was missing from our people because we became so religified. Religification tends to stultify reason and the ability to think for self. So we wanted to get beyond the bubble and the sneer and the incarceration of religion and understand what it is that formulated the science that became religion, you see. So the conscious community today essentially is an opportunistic gathering of people who have taken the works of the elders from before us and just used that as a means to do that. Now, I'm not saying everybody's doing that. There are some real righteous, powerful teachers out there who are going to take the torch forward. But as it stands today, it just seems to me about opportunism to get that 15 minutes of fame. And a lot of people are saying, well, who are you? Who are you? Who think you are? Well, I ain't nobody. All I do know is that I was the one who helped to participate to grow it in New York to the level now that it became a commercial entity, something that was paying the rents and paying the food bills and the hospital bills of people who would then peddle what it is we taught on tape. So they understand what it is. We love all our brothers. You know, they say, well, without us, you wouldn't have been known. Well, we didn't want to be known that way. You know, it isn't about us becoming celebrities and all that. because that ain't what the work was about. We who knew it ain't about that. Ain't about the work. The real work is underground, and this is why I keep telling people the metaphysical underground is what I helped to create. Every time something comes to the top, like when they took a hip-hop commercial and they brought it above ground, the first thing happened to it, it got polluted, got raped, and turned into this nonsense you hear on the radio today. So everything that we were really doing is what we did. We kept it underground. The people who came in to film said, can we film this? Sure, we said yes. By all means, you could film it if you're going to give it to the right hands to do the right thing by it. But then it became a commercial entity. It became a product rather than something that was helping to uplift our people. It began to divide our people more into camps, into cults of personality that was fighting over the view too, talking about, you know, this gang and that gang and, you know, that gang of mentality, that ridiculousness. And then the conscious community just got vilified. Everybody was dogging it. They were dogging me, you know, telling me, look what you talk about Malcolm. No, I didn't say that about Malcolm. What I was telling you was what it is they said about Malcolm. Most people just didn't get it. You know what I'm saying? So the thing about it is I know it's going to resurrect out of the ashes, because if it is truly what it is that we set it out to be, Brother Bobby, you know, bless that brother, because we want him back on the scene again. Brother Delbert, who passed on to the ancestors, it's going to rise out the ashes again. It's going to rise out the ashes again, because this thing was birthed in the Phoenix mentality. You understand? Because we rose ourselves out of the ashes, being taught by our elder brothers and elder fathers that came before us. So we will rise out of the ashes, and the young who take the torch forward with integrity, they will help this so-called conscious community to rise out of the ashes once again.
Sure, indeed. I would like to ask you, can you tell us your thoughts on the origin of humanity, the evolution of man? What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts in a very quick, what do you call it, to actually, because my wife is giving me the waving hand. There is no evolution of humanity. That's a lie. In my teachings in my university and in the teachings I've put out there to everybody, that man always was. There is no beginning or ending to man, that specific entity of flesh and bone that may have taken on different shapes and sizes, different essences and different densities. Man is God folded over onto itself. So the very existence of God is represented in the existence of man. So if there is no beginning or end to God, how could there be a beginning and an end to man? It's ridiculous to even think about it. If you have the mind and the expansiveness of intelligence to see beyond the dark glass of ignorance that religion and the education system has put you in, there is no beginning to man. This coming from an ape or a slug from out the ocean, that's the European trying to give himself a beginning, because you don't know where the hell he came from. Every place he digs, if you heard me say that on Hidden Colors, you heard me say that the deeper the European digs for evidence of his beginning and his existence, the blacker the planet gets.
Yeah.
So he's the only one worried about a beginning or even an ending. You see, we already know there's no ending. And if there was never an ending to that thing called man, how could there ever have been a beginning?
True indeed, brother.
The only evolution is the evolution of man's own ignorance, and to what extent that man will allow that to subsume his ability to become a higher spiritual being.
No doubt.
Because we're looking at the evolution of futility and nonsense with you trying to look like a robot now and trying to put yourself into a robot or create yourself robotically, and they're pushing that all over the place, you know? You can tell we've been co-opted in our minds when because the European doesn't have the melanin to take him out of this constraint of his physical body, he's got to put on this cyber suit in order to have the experience that melanin gives to black people.
Yeah.
Because you see, what do you look at in the movies? As soon as he puts on that damn suit, he starts jumping high and start doing what it is that Michael and the rest of them can do.
Yeah, a prime example of that movie, Lucy.
Yeah, she go from white to black, don't she?
Yeah, yeah, she got a lot of melon all of a sudden. She went back to touch her finger to a primate, which is a evolutionary standpoint of Charles Darwin.
That's them going back to their own beginning. Because you see how white that ape look, right?
Yeah.
And you see now the movie The Planet of the Apes is gonna be deep. You know who the apes are, even though they shave them white. The apes is us.
You already know. We're waiting revolution.
Mm-hmm. You know it's revolution coming, and they want to stir up. You know these white supremacists. Because you see my boy Woody Harrelson looking like a white supremacist.
Yeah. They're putting the thoughts out there. Mm-hmm. Aspect of racial war and separation. Mm-hmm. No, they're putting the thoughts out there.
That's right.
Trying to use that white privilege. Trying to use the white privilege to convince the white radicals to join forces with them, and not do our biddings. You know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Trying to convince them.
Again, you got to remember too that we can't leave the Ashkenazi Zionists playing both ends against the middle. Oh yeah, he's playing it right against the middle. You know, he's the one with all the money. He's holding on to the money. He's working for the Vatican. He's the one who got hold of music. He got a hold of. He owns. Let's look at him this way. The ultimate rabbi owns pornography. The ultimate rabbi, okay, he owns the child pedophilia and slavery ring, sex slave ring. He owns the education, or what I call the deeducation system. Okay, he owns the entertainment system. All right, everything is run by him. The one thing that white people don't know, and in their hatred of us, is that they niggas too.
Yeah.
See, they're over here putting their guns at us. Nigga this, no jobs, niggas did it. Oh my God, niggas. They don't understand that they behind just got a negative, 20% birth rate? Why is it white people dying out so much? Because the people running the birth control industry are the Jews. The people running feminism. With Jews.
They're killing their own people. They don't care.
It's war. And people don't see it as that. This is, if you study the art of war, you will see what feminism did and how it did to co-opt the black culture, the black family, or take away, as far as slavery was concerned, the slave ships. All the slave ships were owned by the Jews, but you got to remember they were working for the Vatican too. They're all working for the Vatican, the Sabbatean Jews. Okay, they're the ones who are working for the Vatican. They're probably now infiltrated and are part of the Vatican because I believe the Pope is a crypto Jew and a crypto Jesuit. So they're running everything. So we have, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch how the world looks in the next 20 years. And I told everybody by 2020, we should all be seeing very clearly because what's 2020?
I don't know.
2020, when you see clearly, what do you see? Most people don't know. When you go to the optometrist, ask them what 2020 vision means.
Say a perfect vision.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect
like
vision.
Like my boy said. Mm-hmm. I can see clearly now. The pain has come.
Yeah.
It's all coming out in the wash.
We're definitely in for a dramatic change.
Oh, we already into dramatic change, brother. What I would tell brothers and sisters, if they're interested in actually getting rid of their fiat dollars and to putting it into where it is that they set up for them to deal with worth nowadays, because the whole thing is about worth. It's about the worth of your dollar, the worth of the fern, which is crap. You might as well use it for toilet paper. It's got a better use that way. But what you need to do essentially is to move your worth away from your banks and into this new cryptocurrency market. And I say that with all honesty because I've already done that, and I'm investigating even more ways for me and my family to be able to save whatever worth we have, and to also teach people how to be able to discharge debt. I'm not doing it, but I do know that there are brothers and sisters out there teaching our brothers and sisters how to discharge debt. We can tell everybody that everything they own, quote unquote, is actually already prepaid for. They just don't know it. And that mortgages essentially already paid by the time they put their signature on any contract. And then once they put their signature on that contract, they've turned that contract into a security, a negotiable instrument that they use to hypothecate 10 times. So you have to look at this situation. You have to see how it is that business is run. We do have the remedy. And a lot of the times I believe that these crackers are actually pissed at us because we don't pick up on the knowledge that we'll be able to bring down the debt and get rid of this this devil over our backs and to work with the IRS and have to turn them into our, people to take care of your money for you.
Or a treasurer.
No, not treasurer, but people who work for you personally, you know, like the person who take care of your finances for you. The IRS works for you once you know how to work the IRS. But they become your enemy because they're just a collection agency for the international bankers. But since they took all your money away from you in 1931 and 1933, took the gold away from you, but they left you the out to be able to discharge the debt because there ain't no money. Just like there ain't no judges, there ain't no real courts. All of these, all our brothers who are incarcerated are actually incarcerated based on the damn 1099 form. You know, it's all about finance, all about money. It's all about warehousing your body and then taking and ripping off your Social Security number, the one that's the red number on the back, ripping off the monies that were already charged to you at your birth with your birth certificate, which is a bearer bond. All of these little things, they don't teach us this in school. They don't teach you that. They teach you to stay a slave so that they can pimp you.
Yeah.
All right. But anyway. That's it for me, gentlemen, brothers and sisters. I'm hoping that our time together has been fruitful and that, you know, there's a whole lot of love exchanged back and forth. There's a lot of things that I would like to say and a lot of things I know that once you have put this out there for people to see, there's going to be a whole lot of people attacking me, hating me, and telling me all kinds of things about what I did or didn't do. Well, I love them too, you know, because they're probably ignorant as hell. Either way. Anyway, I enjoyed myself, brothers. Thank you so much for your kind invitation. And
brother, we appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, hopefully, this show can actually begin to, you know, flourish. You get more listeners and brothers and sisters out there to help you to, you know, keep this torch that our brother Dragon over the last, what was it, 30, 40, I would say about last nearly 50 years ago, you know. The dragon has come. Remember that? This is it,
sure.
The gentleman. The dragon has come.
Yeah,
well,
sure, indeed.
You keep the dragon's word and the dragon's mentality alive. You know, and, I mean, one time he's the most dangerous man in the prison system at one time. All the prison systems around the country looked to him. That's why he had to be assassinated. And in jail for what? $70? $70 and what? $25? $70 and 20. I know it came up to a 9.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A 9. A number 9. Well, I tell you, metaphysics. These people, they work at it. They use it. Anyway, brothers, again, my number. This is in honor of the Black Dragon. You know, I give thanks for, you know, you all giving me the chance to speak on this time. And again, my number is 800-847-1291, 800-847-1291. Please speak clearly. say your number twice or even three times. And we have our services for the university, vaccination exemption information, health consultations, and our one, actually just two products that we recommend. And with that, gentlemen, I bid you a hotep. I know they hate that word because now there's a whole lot of you turn it into hotep niggas, which is a really stupid acronym for people who have no damn clue about what the hell going on. And that's a defamation of the brothers who put that in there. You know, I say the hell with them. I'll say hotep and be glad that I did say that. Love you, brothers.
Right,
talk
peace,
to you soon.
Bro.
All right, peace.
All right. I want to thank the brother for coming on. I was to the information-packed show. So right now, I have all lines open. If anybody wants just to give like a closing statement, a comment about what they heard, their thoughts on the brother, feel free because your mic is open. Okay, hold on a second. The mic's moving a little bit slow. Go ahead, brother.
I'd like to say, you know, like always, it had been an educational show, very informative. And like, if you have anybody incarcerated, loved one, relative, or friends, please look into Georgia University. Our website is www.georgiauniversity.com. Again, our website is www.georgiauniversity.com. And Georgia University, whole foundation is transforming the criminal mentality to a revolution mentality. All we can do that, do education. Like John Henry Clark said, education for liberation and liberate our mind state. And we are constantly a people that are constantly being oppressed by all facts and forces and powers on the planet Earth. And we got to come together and do something collective and let our power be known. So we try to liberate ourselves. Identify with things that are beneficial to you, which is land, you know what I'm saying? Which is resources, which is doing things for yourself, elevating yourself mentally, physically, and emotionally. You know, establishing community gardens, having a business, land ownership. We need to learn about solar panels that control our own solar energy. Learn how to clean water. Purify water, other things of the nature, things of survival tech, them things that need to be learned to survive in this modern day and time and age. To take advantage of all the information we're going on floating around and be aware of all the false information that they're going to mislead your mind and misguide you to wrong perception or ideas or what really going on. Know the truth. Research it for yourself. Experience it. Experiment with it. Test it. I'm going to say peace on that. Free to land.
All right. That was very well said, Brother Bomani. I couldn't agree more on those principles about owning land, about establishing community gardens. I agree 100%. So is there any other one listener who would like to make a closing statement or comment? Okay. Well, on that note, I'm just going to say I want to send a sincere thanks to the brother for taking time out of his busy schedule to spend time with us. I'd like to thank everybody who called in with a question or comment. I'd like to thank everybody who is out there in the listening audience. Tune in next week. We will have another informative, impact information show for you. Peace, be safe, and good night.
For yourself.